Hi, this is Bob, and today I have an interview with Haunts. Haunts has released Dreamers. This band kicks ass every release, and this one is no exception. And here is my interview with Haunts.
Hello, my friend.
Hey, my man, what's going on?
Not much. I wanted to thank you for taking time to speak with me today.
Yeah, man, we're just back from Europe, Copenhagen to California in 21 hours.
Yeah, how did it go for you out there?
We had a blast, man. This was my first tour with Haunt in Europe, second tour in Europe overall, but we had an incredible time, man. Five different countries, lots of new fans, lots of people singing in the front row, which is always a trip to see, to be a long way from home and people singing, especially with the new record out, people singing the new stuff. And grateful we get to go back in the fall, back to mainland Europe in September and October.
That's great. And what a great album. Dreamers is killer from top to bottom. Man, it just really, really rang true with me. And that's why I reached out to you, because, man, this really a great piece of work.
It means the world, dude. It's that's kind of all you can ask for, especially as a band or recording artist, to have reception like that. Because this band specifically is Trevor's vision, but it's music that is made, you know, our way and just for us. So the fact that it resonates with you and other people is that's kind of what it's all about. It, lack of no pun intended, that is the dream, you know.
Sure. And I wanted to ask you if you could speak on the song Steel Mountains. It's one of my favorite tracks on the album.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the second single. There's a music video coming out for that. I'm not sure if it'll be out by the end of this month, but definitely next month, that our other guitar player, Andy Lee, he filmed and edited and directed along with one of his other production partners. Yeah, man, that one's definitely gone over well live. Specifically from a recording standpoint, a lot of fun to track and a lot of fun to play, especially that middle bridge riff with the, as far as like the chanting, we will conquer, you know, mountains of steel. That's definitely a part. We opened with that song a majority of the tour, which I think for fans is weird only because it's a new song. So it takes a second for people to either get that this is a new one, but by the middle of that song, that's definitely when everybody is kind of like full on into the show. And that's, you know, that's presenting ourselves as a band that is still currently putting out music. You know, I think a lot of acts that are still doing it, they open with new stuff and then go back to the catalog of songs that people dig, which Haunt definitely has a lot of. The chorus itself, singing, you know, it's cool to be able to have Trevor's trust as far as handling the call and response and the higher harmonies. That's something I'm definitely grateful for as a part of this band. And just as far as a lyrical and songs are always relatively ambiguous, right? Everybody's kind of gets to have their own interpretation, but it's just about, at least for me anyway, life is a mountain made of steel, as the first verse kind of hints to, right? And just not giving up, lots of metaphors in the heavy metal world for things like that, right? But sure. Trevor has a way with words when to make the stuff that is cliche not sound so cliche, you know what I mean? It's not a direct correlation to like sword and steel, even though part of it feels that way, but it's a good one, man. I'm glad you brought it up. And part of the reason why it's the second single from the record, you know.
And another one of my favorite tracks is One Chance. I mean,
yeah, man, I'm glad you dig that one too. There's a lot of different stuff on this album, you know, and especially being the new guy coming in and Trev, when I joined the band after the first, I'm trying to remember, I think we tracked Dreamers before we went on that first tour with Satan and Night Demon. And Trev had all the bass done, and asked me, listen, it's done, but I'm willing to delete all of it and have you re-record it. So that, again, like a testament to his trust in my ability, which is which all I can do is the work and then kind of stay out of the results, right? Just as far as how people respond to it. But that was another one that was each individual song recording on this album. It was a new challenge in and of itself, just because Trev works at such a pace that there's always something new to do. Like, there's already an album for 2025 that I'll have to track bass for later this summer. And that's only because pretty much everything else is already done, you know? That One Chance specifically, lots of cool, interesting, not necessarily syncopated, but cool, like off time kind of changes within the riff themselves. And that's the thing about the way Trev writes too, is nothing about what he does is like, is stock or just kind of standard heavy metal riffs or sound. And I think part of that has to do with like the California punk rock influence that he comes from, and me also being from California, Los Angeles specifically, and having an affinity for that. The blend of punk rock and heavy metal definitely shines through, I think, on that one specifically.
And speaking of the scene there, every time I do an interview in California, I have different views of the scene in your area. I wanted to ask, how are things now as far as the clubs and getting gigs out there?
I think California as a whole, it changes every couple of years, as most scenes do. And when there's an explosion of music or an area where there's something really happening, I feel like it really only lasts about 3 or 4 years. So specifically in Los Angeles, it's kind of going through the tail end of the scene kind of figuring itself out. There's more bands coming out now. There's newer venues that are starting to pop up. In Fresno specifically, that's where Haunt's based out of. There's some newer bands popping up in the Central Valley. Not so many new venues, but Fresno specifically has Strummers and Fulton 55, which are both great venues that lots of touring acts come through. That's where the Frozen in Time 2 Fest is going to be later this June 22nd. But California as a whole, I think there's a lot going on right now with bands, and that's part of the reason why Haunt tours so much, is that one, it's expensive in California. Two, or just logistically as far as gas and just, you know, transportation costs, housing costs, more in the sense of like a place to crash. Thankfully, we have a pretty wide network of friends that we hang with, play with, and that's as much a part of the scene as just being a band is. I mean, just off the top of my head, we just played in, before this last tour, we played in Sacramento and Nevada City with a band based out of Sacramento called Night and Gallo. They're signed to No Remorse Records, and with Hellfire, who is on Riding Easy Records. Hellfire is based out of the Bay, but Riding Easy is a label here in Los Angeles, and they have bands all over the world as part of their their artist roster. Those are two bands just off the top of my head that are absolutely killing it. As far as who we're playing, we have some more shows in California coming up this next week. Tanith is headlining, but we're going on tour with them. That's Russ Tippins from Satan's other band. They're based out of Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. We're playing with Tyrannus in Costa Mesa, Saber in Los Angeles, Zimani down in San Diego, which is like a traditional metal duo. It's two brothers, Eddie and Sebastian, that have been doing it for several years, and I'm excited to see them again because it's been a little bit. I mean, California as a whole, I would say California as a whole, there's so many different cities, obviously the Bay, Los Angeles, San Diego, it doesn't all blend into one, but California as a whole feels like it's one whole big scene, only in the sense of that, I don't know, I feel like lately specifically California's getting a bad rap within the United States, and I think that's just part of like the crazy divide that the country is in, or not necessarily the world, because going around Europe, it didn't feel that way. But so that's why I feel like it's cool when California people kind of band together. And that's why I feel like it's all one giant scene. But it does change a lot. And so I'm happy that right now it's in the middle of a sort of a united front in that sense.
And I also wanted to ask you about the video for Serenade, because I think it was a perfect single to start with. And I wanted to ask how the video production went for the band. Did everything go smoothly?
Yeah, man. I mean, this is this core group of guys, the four of us, Andy Lee, Andy Saldade, the drummer, Trevor and myself. We've got something special. You know, Haunt's had a couple of different lineups. Trevor and drummer Andy have had Beastmaker before Haunt, so they've definitely got close to 20 years of history, close to it. I think more like 18 or so, but they've all been, the two of them have been in several other bands in the Fresno area. And so there's something about the four of us that everybody's able to speak their mind in a way that nobody takes personally, because I think all of us have each other's best interests at heart, whether we realize it or not. That's one thing, but no, everybody presents the idea in a way that's best for the group, you know, and that's especially interesting for me because Haunt is Trevor's vision, right? Like, we're all here to help facilitate, but it's the kind of thing where joining this band, it was made very clear that, like, if I have ideas for songs, that's awesome, but there's a very high chance that it's not going to be received, which in most situations people would be like, well, I don't want to be a part of that. And for me personally, it's all about something greater than myself. And so I help facilitate that in another way, which is not, for me personally, it doesn't, you know, drive me nuts that I don't have songs on the album. There's bass lines and harmonies maybe that make it, which are just ideas that I give Trev, and he's the one that obviously makes the final say. But the four of us together, we make a really good team. So as far as the production of it, like I said earlier, Andy did the video for is editing the video for Steel Mountains, which is nearly done. He also did the one for Serenade. And that's what he does as a career. So he gets hired by hospitals, by church groups, by local businesses to create content and media, photos, videos, that type of thing. So to have a guy like that on the inside is huge. I mean, he did the other two music videos from Golden Arm, Chimera, and Fight the Good Fight too. So he's the visionary for sure, which, like, if we have ideas, that's one thing. But I also think we're at kind of a point where, like, music videos are not received the way that they used to be, and they haven't been for years. So to have just kind of like a live performance video with a small concept behind it, I mean, and the only real small concept is like the intro, as far as Trevor and Andy playing acoustic guitar and then Trev singing it, you know, that gives it kind of like a cool cinematic, or kind of just sort of like a mood or vibe. But it's not like there's this whole concept where we have to hire extras or have people, friends, family, or just people of the heavy metal world be a part of the production process, you know, just because one, it gets expensive, two, it becomes time consuming, and three, it just becomes to be a lot, as opposed to, chances are it's going to be something that somebody watches one time, hopefully more than one time. But as far as like being realistic about it, it's almost just another form of content for people to consume. So the less is more approach is something that we've definitely dove into as far as when it comes to music video. But at the same time, I don't feel like it is less. It's just the best representation of the band, you know, because for us, the live show is where it's at, right? I had a guy in Germany that said the live sound is different than the album sound. And I was like, well, yeah, isn't that how it's supposed to be? And for him, I mean, Europe's obviously an entirely different world, and German metalheads are very specific in what they like, which is good. But this was a deterrent from him from buying the album, because the live sound was bigger than what would have been on the album. For me, that's how it's supposed to be. Every band that I enjoy, most of the time, it's because their live show is that much better or bigger than the sound on the record, you know? And that's part of the allure of getting someone to come to the show versus they buy your album on
Bandcamp or iTunes or only stream it on Spotify, or they buy the CD or vinyl or tape, and then that's as far as they go with the experience. You know, the goal is to get them to the show.
And I also wanted to ask you if you could speak on your musical development. At what age did you begin?
I started playing guitar at 10 and switched to bass at 15 because I had a ton of friends that were better at guitar than me and also needed a bass player. So within a week of switching to bass at 15, I was in two bands.
And wow.
That's kind of been my story ever since, man. I dropped the pick and used my fingers because at that age, all of my favorite bass players were using their fingers. And at that time, it's, you know, it's everybody from John Paul Jones and Geddy Lee to Frankie Bello from Anthrax and Cliff Burton. Mm-hmm. And even I'm a big like funk R&B dude too. So Bootsy Collins, Larry Graham, Anthony Jackson from the OJs, dudes like that, you know, which I think is part of the reason that my sound specifically sounds the way that it does is because it's so finger heavy from that, from kind of that soul groove background. But Cliff is all I'm ever trying to be all the time. So, and he beat the tar out of the strings when he played. So that's like,
yeah,
that's all I'm trying to do is like this, like 70s, groove meets heavy metal type of thing, you know? And all the other Haunt records specifically, it's either Trev playing bass or the bass player at the beginning, which his name was Taylor. He used a pick also. Trev played on Luminous Eyes, Mosaic Vision, and then everything after Mind Freeze. And then Taylor played on Icarus and Mind Freeze. And so I'm the first guy to use my fingers on the recordings, which I've always worked hard to make my playing clear with my fingers, because I've definitely been in situations where they're like, well, can you just use a pick? It'll be easier. And for me, that's a challenge or a bet as far as like, well, let me just get it to sound right. And sometimes it sounds like I'm using a pick. Sometimes it doesn't. It's clear enough that it cuts through. So as far as my background, I started playing 15. I was in a metal band in Burbank, California called Legal Tender that acquired some local success as far as within Los Angeles. We only ever did one tour up the coast of California and then into Reno. And that band disbanded. And I was in another band for a while called Void Vader here in Los Angeles, which they were signed to a label based out of the Bay called Ripple Music. And that was kind of Legal Tender was just like a straight up thrash band. Void Vader was kind of this like 80s shred meets 90s hooks. So like Van Halen meets, I don't know, a little bit of Alice in Chains, a little bit of like Soundgarden, just kind of like 90s alternative grunge meets the shred of the 80s. And then I also currently play in a band based out of Austin, Texas called War Cloud that's also on that Ripple Music label. War Cloud's like a Motorhead, Thin Lizzy kind of sounding band, dual guitar, kind of just like tough, old school, heavy metal, rock and roll kind of edge. And that's how Haunt found me, was playing with, or at least Trevor anyway, was playing with Void Vader and War Cloud. Void Vader opened up for Haunt a couple of different shows, in one in Vegas, and then we did a weekend, Fresno, Santa Cruz, and Sacramento. And then War Cloud opened up for Haunt at one point in San Antonio. And so Trev and I first met in like 2019 and just stayed in touch. We kind of hit it off right away. We're both, like I said, we're both from California. We both dig skateboarding a lot. We both just dig the same type of music, you know, and we like to laugh and bust balls. And so we're both very good at that. And so that was something from the jump that it was, you know, was just something that we kind of identified each other with. And I think he saw my work ethic early on too in those bands, just because I'm the dude that, in every band I've been in, I'm the one that gets off stage, wraps my gear, and then I'm right to the merch table to help facilitate in any way I can. And that's something that I bring to Haunt too, you know. It's something that doesn't bother me the way that it bothers other people, just because that's my way of being of service, you know, in that sense, just because I don't know. Maybe it's because I haven't achieved that type of success yet, but I definitely don't feel like I'm a rock star. I still feel like I'm a fan as much as the people that are there to see the show. So it makes me stoked to be able to talk to people after the show and sign stuff. And the rest of the guys do too, but I'm just able to facilitate it fast as far as, like, I don't have nearly as much gear as Andy the drummer or the rest of the guys do. Somebody's just got to, like, run and go to the merch table, and I've never had a problem doing that type of thing, you know?
And I think that's one aspect that, you know, is important to keep in touch with for bands, because, the main goal is, you know, now especially is the shows. I mean, because Spotify isn't going to make anybody rich.
No, man, and that's a good point, too. It's the touring world and the entertainment world, as far as when it comes to music, it's obviously changed a lot in the last decade plus, right? So, I mean, that's part of the reason why this new record is only the singles are available on Spotify and Apple Music. The full record, if you want to hear it, you got to stream it on Bandcamp or purchase it physically, or at least the MP3s from Bandcamp. And it's only, I think it's like $5 or $6 on Bandcamp. So that's a way that we, like, are giving back to the consumer too. Like, just because it's not on a major streaming service doesn't mean it's not financially affordable. I know obviously everybody's situation is different, but it's not and it's all the music itself is pretty much in the sky, right? Like, it's in the cloud, quote unquote. So to charge $20 for a digital album doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I think that part of that comes back to Trevor's DIY punk rock ethos, just as far as, like, let's get this to people if they can't physically buy the vinyl or whatever, you know. Part of the reason we had, I mean, I don't want to, like, toot the band's horn, but I'm going to, we sold probably over 100 vinyl records on this last tour of this new record, which is, like, and is so awesome. And I think part of that is because people in Europe that came to the shows didn't have to pay for the shipping. So that's a whole other thing too, as far as getting your music out there, is that shipping costs when it comes to postage has gone up all over the place, and you can't send things media mail to Europe or anywhere outside of the United States, you know? So that's a big part of it too, man, is you got, like I was telling earlier, the record is supposed to get people to the show, and then the show itself gets people to come back. And so they buy merch, or they get an experience out of just coming to the show. So that's also ties into, like, talking to everybody after the gig and signing stuff. And we had 3 friends come from the UK. They were not mainland England, but they live, I think they lived in Jersey. And 3 friends that were coming to see Judas Priest, and they were stopping in Copenhagen to see Haunt on the way to the show. And it was one of their friends' birthdays. And so one of them is like his 50th birthday. So they made it like a golden birthday, and they made this custom, like, golden arm birthday card and had the band all sign it. And that was just, like, such a cool thing to be a part of this, like, celebration. Right. And it's all, okay, it all comes back to the love of heavy metal. And so these strangers that you meet on the road, and then you end up staying in touch with, and if they ever come to California, we'll link up, that type of thing. You know, that's, like, a big part of how this is supposed to keep going, because the, like you're saying, as far as making money, I mean, none of us really got into this to make money, but we're grateful. I'm at least grateful that I'm able to make a living playing music, not just with Haunt. I'm actually on my way to go to Arizona to play with a cover band for the next couple of days, because that's what I got to do, right? But being a part of the scene, like we were talking about earlier, selling merch, going traveling and seeing the world is a perk of it, but that's what you have to do in order to bring the music to the people, you know? And in turn, there's money to be made, or it just keeps the machine going, you know? And this sure, is, Haunt itself is a band that I'm lucky enough that there is such a following, and the fan club online on Facebook specifically, you know, the Facebook group, and the community around this band is just so awesome. So that's something else that I'm grateful to be a part of.
Sure. And I interviewed Joel Hoekstra, and you know, we were talking, and I'm like, dude, how do you even know where you're at from one day to next? Because he's got five bands going on. You know,
he shreds, man. He's playing with everybody.
Yeah, and you know, and plus he does that music camp or whatever it is, you know, working with people. And I'm like, dude, how do you wake up and know where you're at? Because, you know, looking at schedule, he's like on the road like 240, 250 a year.
And that's old school touring musician shit, man. That's how it used to be. If you were in a band that toured, you were gone 9 months out of the year, you know?
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, good for him, man. It's awesome to see dudes like that that's still at that level too. Cause I had a musician friend tell me this story about when Dave Navarro got the Red Hot Chili Peppers gig. They were all at like the same rehearsal space. And so as far as this band that my family friend was in and Dave and the Chili Peppers and shit. And after that, you know, he got something crazy as far as in the 90s, a signing bonus, I don't know, 5 million or whatever to join the Chili Peppers, right? Something like that. That might be an astronomical number or a different number, but for argument's sake or the story's sake. And then a couple minutes later, he got a call about a $500 cover gig. And my family friend was like, what are you doing taking that gig? And Dave looked at him dead in the eyes and was like, when do we get to say no? You know? So the fact that Joel is just like a workhorse in that sense, it's awesome. And he's one of the best. So that's why you get gigs like Whitesnake and all that type of shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's, that's what you do, man. You players play. And that's why I'm going to Arizona. And then we'll be throughout California this next week and just keep at it. You know, Haunt's got another tour in August all around the States. We're going back to Europe September and October. And I just saw some dates are rolling out as far as where specifically we're going to be this morning. So it's exciting, man. It's cool to be in demand and just cool to feel like I'm doing it, you know, which is that's all I can ask for. Cause we know it can all go away at a moment's notice. Like it did,
sure,
you know? So we're all living it up as much as we can as musicians. And I think that's something to take away from this as far as like a life thing, like just to make sure you're doing what you want to be doing, because it's you only get one shot, man, you know, and it's it can all change at a moment's notice.
Sure. And like, this is my 64th interview this year.
Good and, for you, man.
And, you know, people ask me, they're like, hey, why don't you cut down on, you know, doing interviews and, you know, talking music? I said, this is what I love to do.
That's what it's about.
What I helps me support, you know, living at home. But, you know, when it comes down to it, this isn't work to me.
That's the biggest takeaway, is that if it's whether it makes you money or not, right? Like, you got to be stoked on it, and it's got to, and it is work, right? This, the coordinating of like when we started talking, and then, like you said, you've done this with 64 other musicians and their schedules and researching bands. Cause you know what you're talking about. You've researched the album, you picked out songs specifically there. I've done lots of interviews where they're like, so just tell me about this. And it's like, I don't mind doing that, but I appreciate that you have taken the time to check out the new album specifically, you know? So it is work, and the fact that you just enjoy it, that's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah, I listen to, on average, around 20 to 25 new releases every week.
Good for you, man.
You know, and the thing is to keep it alive. You know, I grew up in the 80s. And I graduated in 84, and a lot of my peers that was in the metal are listening to the same fucking 300 tracks they listened to when they were in high school.
Yeah, I would say a majority of the world is that way. That's funny that you say that. I've always, man.
And to me, that's just so crazy, because metal is thriving better than it was back then, you know, because there's more... You don't have to look far to find an outlet that you enjoy or a style that you enjoy, because it's everywhere now. And there's so many bands out there that you can get your needs. It's all a matter of taking time to do it instead of listening to the same 300 songs over and over again. you know, that's the main drive behind my podcast, is to bring the new music out and to let people experience what's going on, because metal is far from dead.
No, fuck no, man. Yeah. This last tour was evidence of that enough, man. I mean, yeah, it's a trip that people get caught up in, like, what is considered work to them and what's not, right? Like, when we were all coming up as young metalheads, that was the goal, was to find the, like, next band that no one had even heard of so that you could break them to your friends, or that you could talk with somebody, right? And now it's like, well, there's no good music, right? This BS argument of, like, well, nobody new is doing it the right way. And it's like, well, what about this band, or check out these channels? And it's like, well, that's too much work to do it. And it's like, I don't know how much easier you need it to be made. You know what I mean? Bandcamp comes out with newsletters weekly, almost daily, is that are curated to what you listen to specifically. If Spotify's your thing, they definitely do a good job of, like, whatever algorithm, right, they use to find you new music, the Discover Weekly playlist and Artist Spotlight, all that type of thing. It's not as, you don't have to, like, you know, go down to, which I would encourage people to go to the record store and talk to the people that work there about what they're listening to, but you don't have to, like, special order. It's importing stuff is not as big a deal as it used to be, you know, like, you used to have to wait 6 months, or you used to have to pay a crazy number. Chances are the label is, or the store is going to have it anyway, is depending on what it is, unless it's, like, something very niche. But yeah, man, it's there if you want to listen to it. And to a certain extent, there's almost more hunger in the music and more drive, just because it's something that is new. You know, it's a bunch of musicians that want it more than ever, you know?
Sure. And you know, I noticed that right after COVID, the restrictions was released. Man, some of the best albums I've heard in my life had come out after that time, because the artists had the time to sit and create better pieces of work because they had the time. It wasn't kick one out, hit the road, you know?
Yeah.
And it showed. It showed. The music that came out was just fantastic.
There's a lot of awesome COVID albums. I mean, Trevor alone put out two full lengths, and then re-recorded the first two EPs, Luminous Eyes, Mosaic Vision, in a different tuning, and then released that as, like, a whole full-length album. So he essentially had, like, three musical projects that came out, not projects, but I guess releases during that time, you know? So,
yeah.
And I'm with you, dude. There's a lot of cool music that came out at that time, and a lot of bands that weren't doing anything that were like, you know what, dude? Fuck this. We need to do something. After being dead in the water, or not dead in the water, just not doing anything for years, you know. That was another cool thing too, to see some bands come back that hadn't been doing anything for a long time, you know. Specifically, there's a band from Syracuse, New York, called Brand New Sin, that I was excited to see them come back, because they had a cool album back in the day that we used to listen to a lot in the van, with that Void Vader van specifically. Yeah, man, it's awesome to see the inspiration and the drive that comes out of something like that, you know, because the alternative is not using it as fuel. The alternative is just sitting and wallowing and whatever, you know.
And I wanted to ask you, when you're not working on music, do you have any hobbies that you enjoy in your spare time? I know you talked about skateboarding.
That's a big one. My brother and I love to skate. I mean, even my girlfriend, she's a bad chick on like the four wheel old school roller skates. She drops in on the bowl and does all that kind of shit. Yeah, man, skating for sure. I've got two twin 12-year-old sisters so if I'm 30 and they're 12, they were born when I was about 17, a senior in high school. So I try to spend time with them too. Yeah, man. I mean, living in Los Angeles, the circle has gotten smaller as far as friends goes, only because I'm out so often that's just kind of the name of the game. Like, not like people fall by the wayside, but just I'm just not partying and going out as much as I used to. And part of that is because I made a choice to focus on music as opposed to that. So the circle just kind of gets smaller. I mean, I still love going to shows and seeing bands and going to venues and seeing venue staff that I still have relationships with. But it's just changed for me in that sense. So the goal is to be playing as much as possible. And thankfully that is what I'm doing. But when I'm home, I mean, I like to read a lot too. I know that sounds kind of lame, but I definitely bring a book on the road, and I finished one when I was on the road this last tour. Los Angeles has a lot of really cool bookstores as far as used and like old kind of first edition prints and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. I mean, I definitely try to, my lifestyle has changed as much because I started touring, so that I try to like enjoy the time when I'm home. Cause before I used to feel like, well, if I'm not out doing something, then it's wasted time or whatever. Like I need to be out doing a bunch of stuff. And so I think for a long time I was addicted to just like the chaos and just like being out and about. And so because of that, it felt weird to just like sit and be comfortable where I'm at. And so that is something that I am getting better at, but definitely still practicing. So just being home and like right now looking out the window at like the blue sky, like that just gets me stoked. Because especially in Germany, I think we had 3 days of minor sunshine on the whole trip, you know? So just being able to get out and feel the sun a little bit is kind of what it's all about, you know?
Ohio is a roller coaster of its own. A week ago it was 70. Today the high is 32.
Yeah, you said you were fighting snow to get back home. Oh man.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's just been one wild roller coaster. I think the high for the week is 42 degrees this week, and then next week we go back to spring for a couple days.
Shit, man. Yeah, hopefully it stays nice and warm. How far are you from Youngstown?
About an hour and a half.
Hour and a half. The guys that we were on tour with, Screamer, they're from Sweden, but they're coming to the States to do a tour with Savage Master and Bloodstar. And I know there's a stop in Youngstown, Ohio at the Westside Bowl if you find yourself out looking for a show. Because those are three bands that are at the top of their game as far as heavy metal in the world right now, you know.
And speaking of touring, you were talking about U.S. dates. Is there plans to head east?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, August we're actually going out with Savage Master also, and we'll be gone August 1st. It starts in Texas, and then I think it ends August 31st in Las Vegas. So there's definitely Ohio dates coming. There's definitely New England dates coming. There's definitely Midwest dates coming. I think we get down to Florida also. Yeah, man, that should all be coming out sometime next month for sure.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to ask you, what's the best way to get merchandise from the band?
Haunt the Nation.bandcamp.com. There's all sorts of different vinyl variants from the new album. There's not a ton of them left because thankfully the response to the album has been awesome, but make sure you get one. There's a new 7-inch called Damage State that's out, a new shirt that comes along with it. There's a Haunt does a pretty good job as far as like each season, the way that like one of your favorite skate brands or clothing brands, they drop new merch. So there's lots of new stuff coming in that'll start shipping mid-April once we're back from these dates with Tanith, and just as far as when it's all done being made and shipped, you know. Trev gets literally like pallets of records and clothes sent to his house. It's kind of a trip. So it just takes some time, but that should all start shipping, I think, April 24th. So as far as, but get on it. Don't wait until the 24th to buy it, because there's a very high chance that it'll all be gone anyway. So, but Bandcamp's definitely the best way. And if you're going to be in California, not you specifically, but people listening to this in the next week, San Francisco on the 23rd, Brentwood on the 24th, Los Angeles on the 26th, Costa Mesa the 27th, San Diego 28th, and Palmdale on the 29th. We'll definitely have some merch and stuff then. So,
and lastly, I wanted to ask you, if you could give a message to your fans, what would that message be?
Keep doing what you're doing. If you dig something that you're listening to, support the band, go to a show, buy merch, tell somebody about it. Follow them online, because those vanity metrics, unfortunately, they do go a long way as far as your favorite band getting a support slot on a bigger tour, or just the opportunity to do something at the next level. Support art, support music, man. Be kind to each other. We're all we got. So just keep doing it, man. And if you're bummed, or if you feel like it's all too much, reach out to somebody specifically in the music world that you're a part of. Or if you're not part of one, I would just suggest going to a show and talking to somebody that has a shirt that you like, or that is rocking out in a way that you admire. You know, some of my best friends I've made because I had the courage to say, hey man, I like your shirt. And that's all it took to have a lifelong friendship or so, you know. Sure. Or to see somebody like just absolutely going for it, banging their head, starting a pit or whatever, you know, and being like, hey man, nobody's moving around, but I dig that you're giving the energy. That's what it's all about, man. You know, nobody is too cool. And if you think you are, you're not. You know, it's one of those kinds of things where it's like, you know, everybody's a part of it. You know, we can't do it without fans and people that are there to support and buy merch and give energy, because the bands definitely feed off of it. So if you dig something, go for it in every sense, music, sure, in life. If you're not sure about something, give it a shot. And if you fall on your face, guess what? You're that much smarter and have that much more knowledge of either what not to do or how to approach it differently. You know, I think maybe don't be afraid of failure, which in and of itself, that word is like a negative connotation, but I don't think it's failure is a bad thing. You know, I've definitely made a ton of mistakes. Absolutely. But it's gotten to me to where I'm at now. You know, I never would have thought at 15 years old that I'd be touring the world. You know, that was the dream, but I just didn't think it was possible, you know. So I'm doing it, and not to there's lots of other people doing it too, and that's how it's supposed to be, you know. Right. Obviously we all get caught up in ourself as far as, why does this person get this gig? Why does this band get that gig? I need to be doing more. I need to be doing whatever. But just do the work, man. And like I said earlier, that's part of where I'm at, is doing the work and staying out of the results, because it's not up to me in that sense. You know, all I can do is my fucking best. And if somebody digs it, awesome. And if not, then we'll figure something else out. Or it's not for them. It's for me anyway, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I wanted to take a moment to personally thank you for creating an album that I enjoyed from top to bottom. I couldn't wait to interview about the album. And I think this is, in my opinion, the strongest Haunt album to date.
Well, it means the world, Rob, hearing you say that, man. That's always the goal, bigger and better each time. And like I said earlier, this lineup, we got something special, man. There's something about when the four of us get together that it's nothing but laughs, you know. It's the music itself gets to a level as far as when we're performing it that it there's, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of outer body experience that happens, you know, and just to feed off each other in that way, I'm grateful for it. So the fact that you recognize it and can feel that through the music, that's all it's supposed to be.
Well, thank you again, my friend, for taking time to speak with me. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Right on, my man. You stay in touch, dude. I'll shoot over those dates as far as when Savage Master, Screamer, and Bloodstar are coming through. But when we have Otayo dates, I'll send them your way also.
Great. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you, my friend.
Right on, man. Have a good rest of the week. I'll talk to you soon.
You too. Take care.
Later, man.
I'd like to thank you for listening to today's podcast. You can sponsor the podcast. Just click that button and you can be a member of the family. And remember, come see me for a fix.